Hello, my name is Jacqueline Turner, and I'm here interviewing Eric Thompson Bay on October the 7th, 2022 at the Street Sense Media office. And now I'm going to introduce Mr. Bay. He can tell you, you know, his name and how he got in contact with Street Sense.
My name is Eric Thompson Bay, and I got with Street Sense back in 2008 through a vendor, Martin Walker, who at the time was a member of the board of directors of Street Sense. It was Christmas time, and I was working for a jewelry store doing advertisement, and I seen Martin out there at the Farragut North Subway Station. He was selling the papers, and I asked him about it, and he told me how Street Sense work. He said you just go to the office and do a little interview, and they give you free papers. So after the job was over with, because that was the last of the job, the job was ending, and he told me to just go to Street Sense, and they'll do an interview with you. They give you papers to go out. So I did it, and the first day I went out, somebody took me out, showed me around, showed me how to sell the papers, and ever since then, I've been with Street Sense ever since.
Well, let's see if we can get a little bit of background on you,
mm-hmm.
on your early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when were you born? Describe where your area you lived in. Did you grow up with siblings, sisters and brothers, or not? What's some of your best memories from your childhood? And moving from answer, follow up on some of the memories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a born Washingtonian. I grew up in the Anacostia section of D.C. I'm the youngest of eight. My mom was murdered when I was 2 years old, so I never really knew my mom's. My dad passed. After my mom's passed, our family split up. It was five girls, three boys. Three of my sisters went to my aunt. Me and my two brothers and one of my sisters was raised by my dad. And one of my sisters ended up out in Virginia, which I don't know how that happened. What else? I went to...
Was she with like a foster family or something, or a family member?
She was my sister, my blood sister.
I mean, with the people she went to stay with, your sister.
I'm not really sure about that, but I know the lady that my sister lived with was not part of our family.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that I'm still trying to figure out. How did she get separated from the rest of us? Because it was eight, and she ended up out in Virginia with another lady. I can't figure out how that happened. I was so young when it happened. I went to school in D.C. I went to a school in Anacostia. My first school that I went to was Simon Elementary School. I went to several elementary schools because, you know, we moved a lot. After my dad passed, I lived with my sister. My sister actually raised me when my dad died. With her three sons, and then she had another son. She was pregnant, so it was four. So it was just like, everybody thought that was my...
All man house, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was just like, she had, you know, everybody thought my nephews was my brothers because we all grew up together. They didn't know that I was their uncle because my sister was my legal guardian from until I turned 18 years old. Or like I said, I went to, all schools in D.C. I went to Ballou Senior High. I didn't finish school.
Mighty Ballou.
Mm-hmm. The Blue Knights. What else?
Did you graduate from Ballou?
That's what I was getting at. I didn't graduate from Ballou. During my senior year, I got in trouble. I got in trouble at Ballou during my senior year, and I got kicked out. I got kicked out my senior year, and after that... so many things happened after that with the
so
league.
So you never got a chance to graduate?
I didn't graduate, but I did get my GET. I got my GED, and I did some college. But I didn't get my high school diploma, but I do have a GED.
But because I know Ballou is famous for state programs, because they go so far as to find you a job and keep you in school, and you can go to night school while you're trying to work on your GED. So it's got a reputation for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it was back then. How old are you?
Now I'm 55. Next month, my birthday will be next month. I'll be 56 years old.
Yeah.
As far as the state program, during that time, I didn't. I'm not gonna say that the blue state program wasn't there at that time, but I can't remember it.
It probably wasn't.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was in the '70s, right?
No, that was in the '80s.
Oh.
It was
okay.
In the '80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what you liked or disliked about, you know, growing up in Anacostia? Did you participate in the go-go scene and all that?
I went to all the go-go's.
Knights of Columbus.
All the go-go's.
The Catholic Church.
All of it. I went to all the go-go's.
Casino night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My favorite musician was Chuck Brown.
Yeah.
Every show that he had, I was there. Oh, I tried to be there. I can't say there's nothing that I disliked it about Southeast Anacostia growing up. I can't really say that.
You ever go down to Anacostia Park?
We stayed at Anacostia Park.
Yes.
We had picnics there as a kid. I played basketball there at the basketball court. We went roller skating when the roller skating rink was open. Yes, we did. I did all of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know how Anacostia, some people say Anacostia is bad, but I haven't seen none of that badness.
Anacostia is different. I'm not going to say, I would never say Anacostia is bad. I just say it's different. Because I live in Northwest. And I can, as you cross that Anacostia Bridge, the atmosphere change. You can feel the atmosphere change. You can see the changes as you cross the bridge. So I'm not going to say it was bad. I can't say nothing was bad. Only thing that bad I can say about Southeast that my parents died there, my mom's was murdered there. That's the bad thing. I love Southeast. I love.
Did that affect you a lot when you was growing up? Death of your mom.
It affects me right now. It still affects me right today. I still cry right today, every day, because I never knew my mom. I never got to get that mother love. I never got a hug from her.
What about your dad? How old was you when he died?
When my dad died, I was 9 years old.
That's still young.
I was 9 years old. When my dad died, he was at, one day my dad was at work. My dad, every day he came from work, he used to sit on the side of the window where I can see him, and I used to run and meet him at the bus stop. And I
don't think about that. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
It's been bringing bad memories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, when you used to go to the go-go's and stuff, did you pick up girls?
Yes.
Did you have a lot of fun?
I had so much fun.
Did you consider yourself one of the popular guys?
I didn't consider myself one of the popular guys, but I had a lot of fun. I met a lot of female friends there.
But you're a nice-looking guy.
Thank you.
And yeah.
I did meet a lot of females there. I really went to the go-go four to see the bands and the girls, but I never got a girl.
You remember the Soul Searchers?
Yes, I do. I remember the Soul Searchers. That was Chuck Brown backup group.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the best memory that you can think of growing up before you turn 18?
My best memory was every Saturday, my dad would take me out. Bye-bye. We would go to DuPont Circle.
That's it.
To feed the bird.
Hanging out with dad.
He would take me every Saturday. He would say, we're going bye-bye. And he would take me to parks. He would take me to Franklin Park, DuPont Circle, to feed the birds. Saturday was my day with dad.
That's a good thing.
That was my day with dad. Every Saturday.
And those are memories you won't forget.
I'll never forget them.
Okay, life in D.C. has its ups and downs. I've heard good, I've heard bad. I'm not a Washingtonian, but I've been here and visited here most of my life, and mostly all the people that I know are from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Since you grew up in on Southside, what changes have you seen from when you was a child to now?
I don't go over there that much, but from the last time I've been, I see a lot of changes. I see that they're trying to build up Southeast. At one time, when I was living there, Anacostia was the forgotten part of D.C. Mm-hmm. It was just so much. It was so much over there. I see different now. When I go over there, the atmosphere is kind of like changing. I'm seeing new things being built. I'm seeing diversity over in Southeast.
Yeah.
The crime, the murder, that stuff is still there, but.
What about, you ever go out to DuPont Park? Do they still have shows over there?
At DuPont, Fort DuPont?
Yeah.
Yes, they still had shows at Fort DuPont. They still had shows there. They still had shows every summer there. I haven't been in a few years, but I found out through my friends. One of my buddies just told me that they had a show there at the end of the summer. So I haven't been, but they still had the shows at Fort DuPont. They do.
They say they didn't got mature with it. They be having jazz sometime.
I heard that too. I heard that too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. When you heard about Street Sense, what did you think about it?
When I first heard about Street Sense, I really didn't know what to think of Street Sense. I just used to see vendors out there. I really didn't know what they was doing because I never asked. Like I said, Martin Walker bought me to Street Sense, and he was like one of my friends at the time, and I really didn't know what to think of it. But once I got into Street Sense, I knew that this was the place for me. Even though this is my second stint with Street Sense, my first stint after 2008, I went to prison, and I came back out, and I got back with Street Sense because when I was in, I told myself I didn't want to come back prison. So I remember selling the papers and how easy it was, and it was a legal way to get money where I won't have to do nothing bad to get it. So when I went to prison and got out this time, I told myself that I'm gonna go to Street Sense until I get me a job, and that's what I've been out ever since. I haven't been back.
That was kind of a good thing that you could rely on, like you say, that wasn't criminal.
Yes, Street Sense.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yes, it was. It was, yes.
Anything else changed since you was a child? Like the fashion, I know that's changed, but what about the landscape, the stores and the housing and all that?
As far as Southeast?
As far as D.C. as a whole.
Oh, a lot has changed. So much has changed. If you look around the city now, I'm seeing it change now. I live on Kennedy Street now. I've been there for 6 years, and I've seen a big change. I see condominiums going up on my block. Since I've been there going on 7 years now then. And they done built one beside, but two on the side of my apartment. I'm seeing more diversity, more Spanish, more Black, more Ethiopian. I'm seeing a lot of diversity up there. Kennedy has changed a lot. Where I live at now has changed so much. If I look now, it's just that they study building the city. They building new stores, new restaurants. I could walk right out my door and everything's right there.
Marion Bowser said that she's trying to implement a program whereas first-time homeowners and people of lower income will have an opportunity to own their own homes. And she's dedicating or trying to get advocated for a lot of money, a couple of million, so that these people be able to get in these houses and have it as their own. What you think about that? That's a good idea?
I think it's a good idea, and I say this because as I look in my neighborhood, where I live right now, Kennedy, the condos there, a lot of the people that's moving there are from out of town. So they coming from another state, they come in and they buy the condos. So if you've been here all your life,
you should get first priority.
You should get first priority, you should have a chance too. You've been here all your life, so you should have a chance to it's to me, it seems strange that a person that could come from out of our state could come in and get a house and own their own property and somebody been here all their life, and we can't.
Struggling. You
know, it's. So if the mayor doing that, I think that's great. I really, truly do. I think that's a great thing.
I think that she has went out of her way to try to draw new businesses and uplift of the city as far as how it looks and the feel that you get when you get here. Because I remember a lot of people used to say, oh, you going over Southeast, you know, oh, that's scary and all that. And I'm like, what y'all been hearing? Mm-hmm. And my daughter, when I had got married and moved to New York, she says, oh my, you don't want to come back here. These people are off the chain. And I say, really? So in a matter of like maybe 10, 15 years, it did a whole switcheroo because of the community. I lived right in Oxon Hill, but D.C., whenever I visit my friends and stuff, it seemed like their neighborhoods were close-knit. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, knew everybody, and it wasn't no gangland. It was just families.
Mm-hmm. But if you think about it now, just look at what's happening now. Look at Southeast. Look at Northwest, Northeast, South. Crime is everywhere. DuPont right? Circle. You could go to DuPont. You could go anywhere. It might be a little more than Southeast, but it's everywhere.
It might be a little more advertised.
Maybe a little more advertised, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. DuPont Circle, Southeast, it's everywhere. So, like I said, it's maybe a little more in Southeast, but crime is everywhere. It's everywhere. The violence is everywhere.
Do you think this will improve, or do you think the situation will become worse?
What, the crime?
Yeah.
Right now, I think the crime in our city, the violence, is worse. It's worse. It's not. I'm not going to say worse than the crack epidemic or during the 80s. I'm not going to say it's that bad, but it done got worse over the last few years. It's not the same anymore.
But do you think that's citywide, statewide, or worldwide, or just concentrating in DMV?
Basically, I can't say what's going on. I'm going to say DMV because this is where I am. This is where I know what's happening.
Yeah.
This is where I see it at. Not what I hear. This is what I see. So I'm going to say it's in the DMV. Because if you look, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, look, you watch the news. Just watch it. They just had shootings. Guys just rolled past, shot at the police in Fairfax County, showed them a gun. That's Virginia. They have crimes in Maryland. They got crimes in D.C. So everywhere you go, it's crime. Yeah. It don't matter now. And I don't know where this
coming from,
but it done got worse than I could say in the last 2 or 3 years. I could say it's much, much worse. It's much, so much worse, and I can say that. It's so much worse to me that, especially my neighborhood, that I wouldn't even use my front door. I stopped using the front door for a minute.
Really?
Yes, I did. I stopped using my front door.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
But I have had some friends say that, they never have company, and that they use their back door for their company to come through.
Yeah, but my neighborhood is. I want to just say this one thing about Kennedy. It's a beef going on up there, and
heard that
it's a bad beef, and I just
and they were shooting.
It's a shooting. It's a lot going on. It done calmed down now. I just didn't want to get be an innocent bystander. So what I used to do was just use my back door a lot because I noticed the people. My apartment is facing the back, and they were shooting up the front. I just didn't want to be part of it. I didn't want to walk out the door and get hit by a stranger.
By a mistake,
right?
A lot of people lose their life on a humble.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing had started that you was talking about on Kenner Street some months back, and it just kept lingering and popping up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then on TV, of course, they say it's all about drugs. Do anybody really know why all the killings start?
I know.
Well, they was jumping out, just shooting up.
I'm not out there with them guys, but I hear a lot.
Yeah.
I hear a lot. I know a lot, and I can say that it's about a lot of different things. It's about so many different things, and I can say this: everything that it's about is something stupid and dumb that could have been. It could have been squashed easy with a few words or with people just coming together. Talking and just talking about it. You know, and these guys are young. See, we're talking about kids, basically. We're talking about youngins. We're not talking about, we're talking about grown people, but we're talking about 19,
late 20s.
20, 21, early 20s, like that. That's what I'm talking about.
That's the sad part
about it.
We're talking about the cream of the crop and the malehood being shooting each other.
Mm-hmm.
But no apparent reason they can't sit down and talk.
Because
they want to prove something, maybe to themselves or to somebody else.
It's an ego thing, I think. I think that this is what I really believe. I hear a lot, and I see a lot. And them little things that's going on, them beefs, they haven't ended. it's just slowed down now because of the police doing what they're supposed to be, putting the cameras out there, being where they say. But it's not over. Those beefs are
when
not
they
over.
Leave, they be right back.
They be right back. I be honest, I seen it happen while they was there. They put a police car right there in front of the store. If you go around the corner, it was a shooting right there, but the police was sitting right there, and the guys got away. So that's it. I see these things. This is not something nobody tells
me. Well, does that make you leery about having company or when at night when you go in the house and lay down? Does that bother you or, you know, mentally? Dad, I gotta come in here, and I don't know if they're going to be shooting through my window or what. Does that bother you mentally?
It don't bother me. If my apartment was facing the front, yes, but I'm facing the back, so it's not too much drama out there. If my apartment was facing the front, it would. But being in that building, being in that building right there, because my building is the only building on that block that, you know, we low income. We the only building. We got condos right here. You got condos over there. You got houses everywhere else. So my building is like the standout building. It's like the building where all the action at, where everything's happening at. Mm. I don't like that. I don't want my building to be the center of attention unless it's for the good.
Yeah.
And all the things that's happening in my building, it's not for the good. It's not for the good. And what
about the children? Do they have, you know, a lot of families in there?
My building is a building for single families. And they had three men in there. They had 3 1-bedrooms. They gave it to me and 2 other guys, and we right under each other. The rest of the building is only women and kids, but this is the only building that I see, and I can understand that the kids don't come out that much, because they don't want the kids out. If you don't have your kids out, they don't have the kids out in the front. They don't have them out, maybe in the back sometimes, because it's not too much going on. We have our own backyard, and it's gated in. Yeah, so the thing that get me is that I see them little kids, I don't see them that much, and there's a lot of kids in that building, and I don't see them that much. And because they can't come outside and play. Mm-hmm. And I can understand, because the parents don't want nothing to happen to their kids. And I can truly understand that. It's so many kids in that building. And I'd be like, hey, we don't see the kids that much. But I do understand why. I really, truly do. Mm-hmm. I do.
They'd rather have them alive.
Rarely you see the kids out there playing on the front. You know, we have swings and stuff out back. And it got so bad that a lot of times that they don't. The kids don't even.
Do you think they'll probably remember that too once they grow up?
They'll remember, because I remember so much at that time. They'll remember. Mm-hmm. They'll remember. Mm-hmm. These are kids that's between the ages, I'm going to say between maybe 5 to 10 years old. So they'll remember.
Oh, those are the years when you remember.
They'll remember those.
You remember that sometime when you are adult and when you get old and 50. Some things at that age, especially 8. I can remember things now that happened to me when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, on up to 10, that I remember vividly, and I think they will too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about marriage? Have you ever been married?
Never been married. I want to get married. I have a son. I have a 12-year-old son.
Oh, that's great.
I love him to death. And that's another thing that I can say about that neighborhood of Kennedy, because when I first moved in there, I love my son. I love my son to death. And at my building, it was so much. I got into so much drama in that building. I got into fights. I've been jumped. So much happened to me in that building. Because it done got better now. So much better. Because when I first moved in there, it was an open house. It was an open house. Everybody
coming and going as
coming
they
in,
please.
They don't live in the building.
Oh, and, I hate that.
I refused. I was taking my son out the back. And then I got to the point, I said, no.
You live here.
Yeah. And you don't.
We'll run you out.
Right. So what I did, what I started doing, this is how I got into it with the youngest, because when I would go out, I would tell them, no, you can't smoke here. I would say something.
Right.
I would say something. And then it got to the point, I've been jumped. I've been in the fights.
Mm.
I've been in so much in that building. But
you
now,
know what? I can relate to that.
I can. I've been through
when
all
I was
that.
Living over in Southeast. In my building, it was a small building. They only had like 8 apartments, if that many.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the only building that had a wall,
mm-hmm.
and come in between, and then the steps came up.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the buildings, they ain't had nothing but a flat front. And everybody on that block would get up out their bed, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. just to come down there where we lived
the same
at.
Same here.
And sit on the gate.
The same thing.
On the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, you guys don't live here. Why don't you go and sit on your own stuff? Oh, they call me everything but a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own this building, and who in the F you think you are, and all this. And the landlord, Kate Tellman, they get smart with her. They call the police on her. They used to come, get up.
Same.
7 o'clock in the morning, you mm-hmm. trying to take your grandbaby to school. They laid out on the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets drunk at that time of morning?
Mm-hmm. The same, believe it or not, I'm being honest with you. Last two summers, not this summer. This summer is not like that. Last summer and the summer before that, and I know you know Eric Falkera, he know my whole story.
Oh,
our ex-addict, he know everything that I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah, and Eric with the glasses.
Eric here, Eric Falkera.
Oh, this one.
The editor.
Ah.
Eric know everything going on in that building. He knew everything because, I got to say this. I'm going to tell you how good Street Sense meant to me. They paid me and a reporter to do an investigation on that building. They actually paid us $1,000 a piece. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. The reason I didn't finish it, when I did that investigation, you would be surprised of you trying to help your building make your environment better, but the people that's living there was against you. They was all against me. They wouldn't let me come in the house and take the pictures. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So what I did was I told Eric, I don't want the money. I want out. And one, I have to say this because this is a part of what I'm talking about. Even though when I started doing the investigation, I would think that I was retaliated against, but we just couldn't prove it. Because mental health was called on me. I was lying and shit. I was threatening them. That whole time I've been in that building before the investigation, I'd never been in trouble. The police had never been to my house. As soon as I started the investigation, all of a sudden, I threatened staff. Now, man, they want to call mental health. All of that stuff happened to me. And that's why I backed out. You know
I hear people say that, and a lot of people's, they just imagine it. But that's not true. There are a lot of instances where if you go against what they perceive mm-hmm. as the right way, they will retaliate in different ways
mm-hmm.
that people wouldn't even realize
right.
or wouldn't even think that.
Right.
I have came out my door and walked down the steps, and a man and a woman laid out doing their thing. And I'm like, this is not a hotel. Mm. What's wrong with you people? Oh, it's all right. No, it's not. The man was laughing, and the girl was just looking simple. And I say, you don't have no respect for yourself, and look at my grandbaby looking at you.
Mm.
And they would smoke and some other stuff. The police was called so much, they broke the door so much, it got to the point where I said, for my life, I got to get up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved. But things like that happen. Another lady was telling me that worked for Houston. She was in a shelter. And because she didn't agree with what they were saying,
mm-hmm.
she abided by their rules, but she just verbally said, I don't agree. They was retaliating against her,
mm-hmm.
trying to get
that.
Her in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can believe
so
that.
People are people. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate mm-hmm. them. Mm. So do your son still come to see you or...
My son got older. He's 12 now. So he don't come that much. He don't got old. He like doing different things.
Yeah.
He don't, when he was younger, he wanted
to. But you feel safe with him coming to visit you?
Now?
Yeah.
Now I do because the crime, it'll slow down a lot. Now,
yeah.
Yes, I do. Right now, it's gonna calm down. It's safe enough for him to come up there right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have no more children, so I know you want to keep them close.
I try to keep them close and try to keep them doing what's right. And
I only have one, too.
Mm-hmm.
I got a girl.
Mm-hmm. I got a good little son.
Mm-hmm. That is really nice. And you said some good things about Street Sense.
Mm-hmm.
You said that they have done some things helpful to you.
I love Street Sense.
You be writing articles, too, don't you?
I write, yes.
And poetry also?
I don't do a lot of poetry, but one of my last articles, I wrote one poetry, and that was like 3 issues ago. That was the first poetry I ever done.
Mm.
And I did it because I seen one of the guidelines they had, and I was trying to write a story on it, and it came out to be a poem.
That's nice.
I don't write poetry a lot. I really like to write on reality. things that's happened. Like my last article I wrote on gun violence.
Yeah.
I like to write on things that's really happening in the world.
Relevant.
Today. I like things that's going on in the world.
Right now.
Real, something that people can read and get something out of. Not saying that the autos and streets since you can't get nothing out of, but I like to write on things that's relevant.
Things that's going on right now. Things that could possibly happen to anyone.
Right, that's right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm mostly on emotional type, you know, I'm a female.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine some of the things that men have to go through. Well,
women
I can't
too?
Imagine some of the things that women have told me they have endured and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, life is not easy. But the thing about it is you have to build your self-confidence up. And you have to keep telling yourself that you're going to do what you need to do to take care of you.
Yeah.
And that's very helpful not to forget. You come before anybody or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because this world is not designed. It's not Jackie's world. It's not Eric's world. It's the world, period.
That's right.
Okay, that's how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So name some of the other good things Street Sense. Have they ever assisted you in, like, housing or?
I work here. I'm going to tell you what Street Sense. Street Sense did so much for me. Street Sense, I worked. They gave me a job during the pandemic. I came in here, I gotta tell this story right here. I came in here one day about the situation about my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I came in, I was crying, and Brian took me up to his office. He took me to his office with Raven, and they sat and they talked. I told him what was going on. I just got my stimulus check,
mm-hmm.
and I bought me a pair of Jordan shoes. This is how bad my apartment is.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor next door stole, I got me live here. Neighbor lived here, and the girl lived there stole both our packs. She stole $700 worth of stuff from her. I only had one pair of shoes that was taken, a pair of Jordan. So I was mad about that, and I was upset. So what I did, I came in here, and I was trying to get Street Sense involved because I knew I was trying to get them involved because of everything that was going on in the building. And when they sold my shoes, I went to Brian's. Oh, Brian sat me in there. He talked to me, and they. Be honest with
Brian,
you.
Brian, he's the CEO of Street Sense. He's a good guy.
Street Sense were the only ones that actually sat down and heard my story.
Listened.
They actually, Brian, Raven sat there. And I cried that day. I sat in the office and cried. And if you go to our website on YouTube, I'm telling that story in an interview about case management. And you can go see it on YouTube. And after that interview, you know what? Brian gave me a job. He gave me a job working here at Street Sense. I was cleaning. He gave me the job cleaning during the pandemic, making $15 an hour. And they offered me the second job. So that's what Street Sense did for me. I'm telling you, they gave me a job.
They help people who want help.
That's right. They investigated my building. Even though the investigation, I don't know how it turned out because I was so nervous and scared that I was gonna lose my apartment. I wanted out. I didn't want to do it no more because I didn't want to lose my part. Street Sense got involved. They got involved. That made me feel good because you know what? When things like that...
Like somebody had your back.
Thank you. Because I have nobody... I didn't know where else to go. I knew if I come here and I act like I got some sense and I tell my story...
At least they would listen.
They're going to listen. And if it's something that they can do, they was going to do it. And Street Sense got involved. They did an investigation. They was paying me to investigate my building. I didn't ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
They was paying me $1,000 to investigate my building.
And you knew it was bad.
I knew it was bad. Street Sense knew it. They knew it was bad. We just had to do the investigation to get the truth out.
Yeah, people can realize.
But I'm so upset that it didn't come out right. And it was part of my fault. Because I was scared of losing my apartment. I really was scared.
And they will put you out. They'll find a reason.
They would have made something up. Just like they made the lies up on me about I threatened staff. Never been in
trouble. Yeah, I've had that experience. I call the health department because we had mice just running all over where I used to live at.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to come in and spray for roaches every other week. And she put the same traps down for the mice, but... I'm laying in the bed and they running across the floor and all that. All these things people do not realize, but it's against health regulations for you to have rodents infestation and mm-hmm. all that in your house.
Mm-hmm. One thing I can say about my building, I have to say this, I have to put this up. One thing I can say, we have no roaches and rats. We don't, I'm not out, they're gonna come because everybody throwing their trash, but I can say that about that building. My apartment.
You
anyway.
Remember my husband Carl?
Yeah, I remember Carl.
Carl got robbed in the middle of the day, about 12 o'clock, 11:30 in the morning, in front of where we lived at.
Wow.
These bunch of young guys, about five or six young men. Mm-hmm. He was coming in the door and they ran up on the steps, said, "Give me your money," and was pulling him down and going all through his pockets. And I was hollering out the window, hey, what's wrong with y'all? Get off him. Anyway, they took his wallet and stuff. I told you, that's why I knew I had to get out that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I called the police, and the police said, well, I say they probably round there in their pockets. That's where they go. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't press charges. They didn't get that much money. And all they're going to do is retaliate. And y'all old, so just let that go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what kind of stuff is that for the police to tell you? And they supposed to be protecting you.
Wow. But you know, around my way, that I never got robbed or nothing like that. I never got robbed or nothing. But a few of the guys, from my understanding, a few of the girls in my building told me, it's some young guys around, one named Roy, they told me that Roy and them, because I used to sit, when I first started Street Sense, when I came home from prison, I used to stay out all night and sell papers. I used to sell at DuPont Circle at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Mm. So when I go home, it's nighttime. And that one time, one of my residents told me, watch yourself, with Roy and them trying to rob you. So what I started doing when I came home, either I would put my money in my account, I would take all my money that I made that day, I would put it in my account, all except what I was going to take home, and I would put that in the bottom of my shoe. I never got robbed, but it was coming. Mm-hmm. They was going
to
try to get
me. They watch. These mm-hmm. are predators. Mm-hmm. They don't have nothing to do but see who got the money and how they can get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk about future. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening in your future, say in the next 5 or 10 years?
I can say what I want to happen. It's a couple of things. I wanna go back to school. Street Sense, and that's another thing Street Sense did for me. They started that process for me because I told, during the pandemic, when I was working here, I told, this is when Derek first started here, I told Derek and the staff, I said, I wanna go back to school. I was cleaning one day, mm-hmm. and I was cleaning around in the office. I was like, I wanna go back to school. And Derek said, well, Eric, if you wanna go back to school, so he sat me down. And he told me what I needed. He said, okay, you know it's a pandemic, so you can't go to classes. He said, Eric, do you have a
cabin?
He said, you need a computer. I didn't have a computer then. He said, you got internet? I didn't have internet. So that's what made me get all of that stuff. Now, when I went to the staff, when told them I wanted to go to school, they made sure I got a computer now. I got it. I want all of this just because I went in that office that day and told them that I wanted to go back to school. I went back in there. I got a computer now. I got mm-hmm. a laptop computer, even though I don't know how to use it. They even put me in classes with, I forgot the name of the classes I was going through, but they put me with classes. It was so much they did. I got my internet, all of that. I haven't used my stuff yet. I still want to go back to school. I still want to finish school. And all of that came.
That is just
that
great.
That came through Street Sense, through the staff right here, through the Street Sense staff. When I told them I wanted to go back to school, I'm thinking that, okay, I want to go back to school in this pandemic. I'll probably go to class. No, Derek told me, no, Eric. Ain't no class.
No,
you need
classes.
You need internet. You need a computer. You need this.
Zoom.
And I got
online.
All. I got a, Zoom. And I did all that. So they put me in. They had me going to this class. I forgot the name of the class for computer. Do Zoom. But I didn't finish it. I didn't finish the class because I was working here.
Yeah,
and
I'm busy.
So I didn't finish. So.
But once, you ain't gave up, have you?
No, I didn't. I still want to do it. I still want to go back to school. And if I go right there to Derek now, mm-hmm. he know I got my computer. He know I got the internet. He'll take me to the next level. I'm just not ready right now because I'm just starting this new job. I told you I'm working at the convention center.
Everything is step by step.
Yeah, step by step. I want to go back to school. I got a few credits already. I've been to school. I've been to UDC. I did classes at Georgetown too. All in prison, but they credits and they good credits. They still are good. All my credits are still good. So
your plans are to go back to school and after that what?
I want to go back to school and I want to go back to school. I want to find a job. See, I'm a cook. I want to find a job or a restaurant where I can where I'm gonna be there, where I don't have to keep moving around. I can keep moving from job to job. I want to find.
Yeah.
I want to get into a kitchen.
You ever thought about going into business for yourself?
I have. I know it's a lot to it, but I want to, but
it sounds like a big step, and little by little, like I'm a step by step.
Mm-hmm.
You just start with your, well, let Derek explain. Start with your food manager's license.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after you get that.
I got it already.
Okay,
I
then.
I already got that. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a hoop to get a hoop, if you got a little corner, you can,
yeah.
You can park it on the corner.
Yeah.
Or you can advertise and say, mm-hmm. Call for it and come pick it up.
Yeah.
And eventually, see, they say most businesses take at least 2 years to get mm-hmm. off the ground. Mm-hmm. So don't think you're going to jump out there and overnight become Bobby Flynn.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Be on the food maker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, take your time.
Right.
Anything is possible. Do mm-hmm. not sell yourself short.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
I'm telling you.
Thank you so much.
Because I've been thinking mentally, what am I going to do with me? I'm getting older and older and older. I done tried this, that, and the other. I got to decide exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you think Street Sense, I know you know that they will behind you and help you.
I know that.
In any way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Street Sense improving any more than what it is right now?
Improving anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at
the What map. Else can they do to help the community and people that are homeless?
What else can they? Well, right now, Street Sense is doing a lot. Street Sense is doing a lot. You know what? I'm going to say this. By us being out there selling the papers, when I go out there and sell the papers, I let the people that buy the paper, I let them, I don't just sell a paper to them, I let them know about Street Sense. I tell them to go look at the video I made so yeah. See how case management rolls. Remember how case
download
management
Download the app.
Can you remember how case management? When we only had Julie Turner and we weren't, she was the only one. Mm. You see how case management has grew? How it got a lot better? Yeah. I can remember when.
And the classes.
And the classes.
Can they you didn't, remember? Over the years, they done had different classes.
Thank you.
To fit the needs of the different clientele that work at Street Sense.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
When they had a whole lot of people with mental issues,
mm-hmm.
they had a whole lot of classes mm-hmm. on how to redeem yourself, mm-hmm. how to get into, how to seek help,
mm-hmm.
what to do, what are the signs. When they had a lot of domestic violence cases,
ooh.
They did, because I went to that one myself.
Mm-hmm.
Self-defense for women.
Right.
What do you do if you attack? What are the signs if you want to get out of the situation you're in? I just can't, when I look at it, I don't see what more they can do.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Do you know that Derek, I had an incident.
That's the caseworker, that's the head case manager. Yeah.
I met with Derek. I used to meet with Derek. For once, every Tuesday, for like 3 straight months, we had our one-on-ones. And do you know how much that helped me out? Believe this, and
yes.
You can talk to Derek about it. We had our one-on-ones,
mm-hmm.
and I could sit down there and I could just talk to him about things that I couldn't talk to nobody else about. We had, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock,
y'all
I was waiting for
him.
I wanted my one-on-one with Derek, and I can still do it now. I told Derek, the only reason it ended because of me, I told Derek,
you didn't feel like you needed
no,
it?
No, I didn't tell him that. I said I didn't. I said, Derek, I just stopped going, but I told him this. Derek, I just told him like last month, I said, Derek, I might have to start coming back because I don't want to think that I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to think that I'm good because I know me. I got mental issues. I got issues.
We all do.
Yeah, and he sat down with me and he told me how to get out of things without being mad because I'm real angry.
You got a temper?
I got a vicious temper.
I can't even see that in
but
you.
But I can control it now. I can control it a lot now just by being with Derek. I know how to count to 10. I know how to sit back and just watch the situation and just
I was
calm
in therapy
down.
For a couple of years mm-hmm. and it is seeing you know, people say, oh, you know, you could talk to anybody. You didn't have to kill it. But no. They help you.
Yeah.
Because that lady, she listened and listened and listened, and she didn't interrupt me. She didn't have no, don't think that or don't do that. She would always say, what do you think? And what is your solution? And she never, you know, and then she would say little subtle things like, you know you have a right to say no.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do what makes you happy?
Right.
And one day she came in and she told me, you can just do what you want to do. Can't nobody make you do whatever you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And you have a right to say no. And that thing resonated in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told her one time, my husband came home and said, you are just no earthly good. And I just cried and cried and cried. And why was I doing that? All I had to say was, neither are you. You know? You know, but mm-hmm. he had me to the point where I was stifling my emotions.
Right, yeah.
I'm glad I kicked that dumbness.
I just wanted to say one thing. I've been through therapy. I don't deal with a lot of psychiatrists. I got my best help from Derek. And I told Derek, and Derek is not, he would tell me, he said, Eric, I'm not licensed for what you want. What I really needed, because he wasn't licensed, but for what he was doing, he was licensed for it. So I have to say that, I always told him this too. I was like, Derek, when I was in prison, when I had to see the psychiatrist on the street, they always give you these papers and go through all that. I know all that stuff.
Yeah.
I need it raw. I need to hear, like he was telling me, Eric, what you gonna do when you get mad? And then sometimes one day he had tricked me one day. He came and he was making me mad intentionally. He was trying to intentionally make me mad, and he did it, but to see how I was gonna react and how I was gonna curry it. And I did good with it. He told me how to count it. Cause at one time I used to get mad. I still get mad, but I used to get mad where now I know what to do when I get mad like this. Before I even start, I get to step back and say, okay, look at you and say, okay, I count to 10. And if that don't work, just get away. I learned that.
I'm thinking like this. Since you like 6'6", you say?
I'm 6'6".
Now, if you put on some weight, I could see a lot of people being nervous or afraid. And a lot of times they think, oh, you're a big guy. You must be a bad guy.
No, I'm not.
You know, guy. I'm not. Let me tell you, I have 3 grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my grandsons are over 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at me, I'm only 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle one, when he was in the seventh or eighth grade, he was like 6'1", and he was playing football. And his teacher was trying to kiss him in the mouth.
Wow.
Several times. And she got busted, and the principal saw her. They think, and my girl's the same way. I have a granddaughter that's 6'2".
Wow.
She was in the sixth grade, and they thought because she was a big girl that she's, you know, got to be a woman. She was just a child.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, and she said, Grandma, them men is hollering and Colonel. I said, don't pay them no mind, baby. They just crazy. Mm-hmm.
But they should
a
have.
Lot of people say by the looks that they older or they're dangerous or this, that, and the other. Oh, he's dark. He must be sinister.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
A lot of people. You know, that ain't the first time I heard that. As far as me being my size intimidate people, but I'm not trying to intimidate nobody. I don't want to intimidate. I don't want nobody scared of me.
I don't. You ain't no monster.
Yeah, I don't want nobody scared of me. Then when I get upset, I might make people feel unsettled or something.
Yeah.
And I don't really, that's because I'm upset.
I'm like you. What that man, the comedian say, he's by my size and he say, he can't hang out with people like Shaquille O'Neal because he don't want to be looking up between his legs. And I'm kind of paranoid too, you know, about real big people because they can really do some damage if they want to.
For real, we were some of the most homeless people. I'm going to tell you something. Can you remember, I'm going to tell you, it's a guy, he passed. He's in there on the wall. And this is, I used to call him the biggest guy on the wall in there. I can't remember his name. He was in the shelter with me. He's about 6'3". I can't remember his name, but his picture is in there on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about 6'3", but he was like 260 or 270.
Ooh.
So, in the shelter, but believe
this. Big and tall.
But when we was in the shelter, he was just so, the guys used to just go at him, and just do
still his stuff. Him.
But you know, he wouldn't do nothing. So this is what I told him one day. I said, dog, look how big you is. Your side, they doing that because you they think you timid. And I told him, man, just one time, because they used to give him so many problems in the show. And the point I was trying, I used to call him Big Humble. And I called him that because he was just so humble. You'd never see him argue. All the stuff, he went through so much in the shelter. I used to be mad, but I always told him, I got your back if anybody tried to jump on you. But he was just so humble, man. And I just feel so...
Why do you think he got like that?
That's just the way he is. That's just how he is. He's just a humble person. And because of his size, and his size intimidate me. Because he's a little shorter, but his size intimidate. I wouldn't want to rap with him. I wouldn't want to have no trouble with him. But the guys in there, he went through so much in the show. I said, one day, this all you got to do is clamp down and raise your voice one time. And I bet you they back off. Just raise your voice and swell up. He was just the type of guy that he just didn't want trouble. He just didn't want trouble. And he went through so much in the shelter. So I looked at his picture today in there. Every time I go in, I call him Big Humble. Yeah. I call him Big Humble. So a lot of times people's size might intimidate people, but some of the most humblest people in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandbaby's like that. She's a really big girl, but she can be real, really sweet, but don't cross her.
Mm-hmm.
And she can get really nasty, too. But we done covered a lot of things, and you spoke really highly of Street Sense, and we found out you have goals and what your goals are and how do you plan to pursue your goals and what you've gotten from Street Sense and what you've gotten from the city. So, because you got your own place, you got your own life, you got goals for yourself. I think we've learned a lot. I thank you.
I thank y'all so much for giving me this opportunity to share
what
my
you
story.
Think? Yeah, this was great.
Thank you.
I learned a lot because I remember when I've had some problems that I used to talk to the other editor, the one with the big glasses.
That's Eric.
Yeah.
That was Eric.
Yeah, but not this one here. His name is Thomas.
No, we talking about the one before him.
Yeah, Eric.
That's Eric.
And he was very, sympathetic and stuff like that. But I went to Brian. I didn't want to wear that little vest. And I said, do I have to? I got my ID. He said, well, if you don't want to wear it, don't wear it.
You gotta
wear it. Yeah. We both agree Street Sense is a good organization. It should continue for years and years to come. And we're glad to be a part of it.
And I love you.
And I thank you, Mr. Bay.
Thank you so much for the interview.
All right.
Thank
God bless.
Thank you. That was good.